With practice and qualifying in the books, Brian and I are here to get you set for all the drivers you need to target, fade, and where's the value this week on DraftKings? Plus, we'll look at the outright market, see if there's any movement, any numbers that we need to be jumping on now that we know the starting grid, we know how everybody ran in practice, all of that good stuff. All on today's Angle of Pursuit podcast.
Ross Chastain used the wall all the way around this racetrack.
Logano has been the class of the field.
Check out the big brain on Brad.
Yeah, I need to change my underwear.
Brian Twining, practice early this morning, qualifying in the books. Xfinity race is already done. We're recording this early enough to hopefully not be burning the midnight oil. Working on the newsletter, which at aoppodcast.substack.com is where you need to be going to get extra picks, extra plays, the full betting card. You can subscribe there. It's completely free. And speaking of subscribe, please do that on this video if you are enjoying the content. We noticed some good views, but only 30% of you are actually subscribed to the channel. So does very little to you, costs you nothing, and is tremendously helpful for us. So if you could please do that. Hit the like button on this video. Let us know your favorite DraftKings play value-wise. But Brian Twining, we are ready for Auto Trader, Echo Park, Automotive, 400. I don't understand the double auto, but you know what? I'm not going to worry about that. We're at Texas this week. We're going a mile and a half racing. The who's who of mile and a halfers are emerging as very viable candidates on DraftKings, the betting window. I guess from everything we saw this morning, what was your biggest takeaway from practice?
I think it's that the old farts hate this new car at Texas in particular, and the young guns like Tyler Reddick, Kyle Larson, Ty Gibbs, William Byron, like all of the newer guys in the series seem to have a better handle of the next gen car at Texas, and it shows in practice and in qualifying. You know, obviously when we go and we look at the outright board after we do our DFS stuff, like you'll see there's been some significant changes, but like we've gotten accustomed to, Kyle Larson puts it on pole for a third straight week, and he's going to be the race favorite. And if it's anything like we saw in the Xfinity race, he'll probably be the Justin Allgaier of this race, and it'll take some wonkiness at near the end for him not to win.
Yeah, obviously puts it on the pole, looked awesome in practice, was not the fastest, was the fastest in 15 laps, but Tyler Reddick was actually the fastest in 10 and in 20, although he was in Group A and Kyle Larson was in Group B. It seems like there was a better mix of in terms of speed for both Group A and Group B this week, which is good. Usually yeah. It seems like one group is significantly faster than another and makes it really hard to kind of figure out the field as a whole when you don't really know how much of a difference there is and where to kind of figure that out. Anybody else really jump out to you in terms of drivers to either be excited about or avoid as before we jump into the pricing and talk about that thought?
Yeah, so I tweeted it out earlier today. I got a little flack from our buddy Chris Wormy for making the sports books aware of this as well, if they weren't already. But Daniel Suarez had decent pace during practice. Mm-hmm. You know, he did okay during qualifying. So he's somebody that I think could possibly find themselves in our DFS lineup. In the betting market, I think he's definitely somebody to consider here. And then in matchups, Trackhouse, obviously, they are notorious for running well at 1.5. Ross Chastain entered the week being one of the most talked about drivers on the NASCAR betting preview show. And, you know, just as a whole from the community coming to a 1.5. So, yeah, I expect Trackhouse to do well.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. And I think there's going to be a potential opportunity in terms of matchups, in terms of top 10, top five, because of where he's starting, because he, you know, obviously wasn't blowing the field away, but did show glimpses that make you go, oh, that's very real. So let me pull up the DraftKings pricing. We'll run through it like we always do. We'll build three lineups, enter that in the three max. We'll talk the updated betting odds, and then as always, go check out the newsletter to get the full betting card, extra bets, extra picks, extra thoughts. Brian and I load that thing up and send it out to you every Sunday morning. It's called the Green White Checkered, and it should be a part of your race day prep. So Kyle Larson puts it on pole, 11K. His buddy William Byron starting 6th, right behind him at 10.8. Denny Hamlin, 10.5, starting 11th. Ryan Blaney starting 7th at 10.2. And Mr. Red Dog himself, an even 10K starting 4th. We got a bunch of front runners, a bunch of potential lap leaders. Obviously, we're both very, very optimistic on Larson. And if he does what we think he can do, he could dominate the race, be the guy you absolutely need to have, and go from there. Beyond him is who's your, I guess, if you were to pivot, maybe you expect, say, hey, I'm doing a GPP. I want to be the guy. Cause if people are falling all over themselves to use Larson, we got to pivot and we have to see if there's an option. And maybe it doesn't make sense to do that, but is there a name of the Byron, Hamlin, Reddick, Blaney group that you're like, I could see myself pivoting there. I think it makes sense. I could see them racing to the front and being the guy that you need.
Ah, man, it's going to be so hard to get off of Larson this week. Obviously William Byron is going to put himself in position at the end of the race, but honestly, this is probably going to be pretty chalky, but Dennis Hamlin starting 11th, like his qualifying lap could have been better. You saw him, he had to get out of the gas. He got a little squirrely there during his run prior to, not making it through to the final round of qualifying. So I think the 11th starting spot is not necessarily indicative of the type of short run speed that this car has. He's always pretty good at 1.5s. So I expect him to find his way inside the top 5 and be there at the end. If we get, you know, a late race caution and we have a restart, the only thing I worry about with him is kind of similar to, we go back to the Bristol race, I believe that was, where he didn't really lead a lot of laps, so he didn't necessarily benefit you from a dominator perspective, but he's somebody that I definitely think is in contention for the race win.
Yeah, and we've seen him be fast. I'm looking at iFantasy Race's average speed ranking for, fast 1.5. So, Kansas 2 last year, he was 1. Texas last year, he was 2. Vegas last year, he was 6. And then Vegas this year, he was 7. So, obviously, has shown speed here. Reddick's kind of been all over the board and wasn't very good. He was fine, but he was 11th in terms of total speed at Texas last year. It's hard to say Byron in this kind of, idea, given that if Byron's good, if his car is fast, Larson's probably going to be even better and even faster. Yeah. And maybe you can, try and stack both those guys to be the two guys you need. We've seen them dominate 1.5 tracks together, fight for wins for between the two of them, and one of them wins, the other one gets second place, and you're loving life. It really feels like it's a Hendrick weekend after what they did last week.
Yeah, I definitely think it's going to be a Hendrick / Toyota as a whole weekend, because there was something that I noticed during qualifying in particular, and they were mentioning it during the broadcast. The Toyotas, for some reason, coming out of 2, were just much better at angling the nose towards the backstretch and being able to get on the gas or stay in the gas a little bit longer or get on it before the rest of the field. So I do think that this is definitely going to be a lot harder of a win for the HMS guys, and in particular Kyle Larson. If we do get the shorter type runs and it doesn't just stay green for a long period of time, which, quite honestly, after seeing how guys were getting loose during practice and all that stuff, I find it hard to believe that we're going to have the similar type racing that we've had the last 2 weeks at the short tracks. I definitely think this is going to be a little more wreck festy of guys getting loose, especially near the back of the pack. Kyle Busch is basically in F it mode, and I could just see him almost intentionally doing it just to get the hell out of the car.
Already going to the backup car.
Yeah. One thing I will say, again, going back to our buddy iFantasy Race, he mentioned earlier today, the last time Larson sat on pole here, he won that race where he led 256 laps in the process. And then that same year, I believe he won the All-Star race from the pole at Texas as well. So when he sits on pole in Texas, he goes straight from the front to the checkered. So yeah. You're playing with fire, not putting him in your lineup.
I think Ryan Blaney is really compelling, and I know the Fords haven't been good, but I feel like he's a unique animal.
I don't know what to, I'm still perplexed about Blaney right now, because he hasn't shown the speed that we saw at the end of last year.
Yeah.
But he's been good enough to compete near the front. He's like the Martin Truex Jr. towards the tail end or towards the middle of last year, where he's always in that like third to sixth or seventh range, I believe.
Yeah. And like last year, he ended up finishing 28th in this race, which obviously this race was in September, as we talked about in the betting preview show.
Yep.
And so it was a more of a playoff race, is a little bit different. But was fourth after stage two, had an accident, obviously finished 28th. But before that, fourth, first, sixth, fifth, fourth, seventh, like he's done really well. After stage two, he's been like in the top five majority of the time. I think that's probably the pivot where if you want to be different and you want to get off of Larson, which is terrifying to do, I think Brian Blaney might be that option. Honestly, I could see him being a way to save a little bit of ownership too. I think he will definitely go, because I think it'll be like, you know, Larson, obviously, if he's a rocket ship starting on the pole, I think your mention of Hamlin's a good one. I think he'll be pretty popular. And then obviously Byron and the Larson group. So I think Blaney is kind of that guy. And then, you know, Reddick is just kind of getting overlooked. And as we talked about Toyotas and Hendrick and how good he was, and, you know, it's hard to fade him too. So you're going to have some tough decisions to make there, but if you make the right ones, it could be a major, major week. Let's talk about the 9Ks, because there's a few names in here, including some Toyotas that are really compelling. Truex starting ninth, Christopher Bell starting third. Chase Elliott, of course, we'd go all in on him, and now he's starting 24th, 9,300. Good job, Chase.
Yep.
Ross Chastain starting 12th. We talk about him all the time. Really good on mile and a half. Typically doesn't qualify well, but does much better on race day. The races where he qualifies really well and puts it up front are the days that he has the freaking weight stuck to the back of his car and gets sunk like a ship. And then Kyle Busch is an inexplicably 9K. Starting 35th, obviously.
He's probably going to be the most rostered guy, I think, just because of where he's starting.
And probably, as like gross as it is and as bad as RCR is, don't fall for the banana.
I have zero interest. Look, I'm okay in the betting market with his teammate, actually, Austin Dillon, because I do think there's some value. Yeah, believe me, talking about getting gross. But I do think there's some value there if he could keep the race clean. But in terms of DFS, like, honestly, Bush is probably going to be, you know, he should be a perennial top 15 car at minimum. But the dude just cannot keep the freaking car on the track, and he's just it's having a horrendous season. I'm still questioning what type of like backdoor deal did he get with RCR to be driving this car, because the friggin' wheels are falling off of that team right now.
Yeah, it's gonna be called RCB,
right?
Travis Bush, something like that.
Seriously, yeah.
That's how it feels. Yeah, no, I'm with you, but like, if you get Kyle Larson and Kyle Busch right, if you get the Kyles right this week, I think you have a really good week.
Okay, so it's perfect little segue from there as we look back down at a little preview of the 8K guys. For me, I think it's safer to just go all the way down to Brad Keselowski, who's starting 13 spots ahead of him, but you're saving almost $1,000 on a guy who just continues to, you know, manufacture good results. Like he was one of the best top 10 values on the board pre-practice and qualifying. If you watched the NASCAR betting preview show, I believe Mark Skybox NASCAR was like, this largest placement bet ever was Brad Keselowski top 10. I think it was like plus money when he got it, which is crazy to think. But I would much rather have Keselowski, who offers the same potential, in my opinion, but also is much safer in 2024 than Kyle Busch.
Well, and if I'm building a cash lineup, I'm with you. Keselowski's the name. I'm shooting for the moon. But like, I'm also worried that his ownership's going to be too high, where even if he crushes at his price.
Yeah, but really, I think in a cash lineup, like, or in like a 50-50 lineup, if you don't have Kyle Busch, you're putting yourself at a huge disadvantage because he's probably going to be over 50% rostered.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird because like his history says yes, but his recent performance says absolutely not.
His history at a lot of tracks this year has said yes.
Fair. That's very, very like, fair. And he's been pretty ass. He's been
dog shit. And I
he's
and
been
I do
worse think, than average ass. He's been like very, very ass.
Yeah. And I do think, you know, from my uneducated brain here, like there is definitely something to the fact that we're racing in the spring here, as opposed to in the fall, which we've done, I believe it was 4 straight years. And yeah. The last time we ran here in the spring was 2019 when Denny Hamlin won the race, by the way. So it's going to race different than what we've had in recent years. And even at the All-Star race, cause it's going to be cooler. Yep. The next gen car changes a lot of things here. I mean, if you think about it, one of the best drivers in the history of the sport, Jimmy Johnson, can't even get through practice without wrecking.
Yeah. And you'll never believe this, Brian. I know we don't want to go too crazy on 2019 stats, but you know who finished third in that race driving for Stuart Haas at the time? Mi amigo, Daniel Suarez.
Oh, no.
So.
See, look, the planets are aligning.
Stars are aligning. It's all coming together. It's too good to be true. Okay, so 9K, Truex, Chris Bell, Chase Elliott, Ross Chastain. We obviously did a soliloquy on Kyle Busch. Do you trust Chastain if we're going the Hendrick route? Can we start lineups Kyle Larson, Chase Elliott? And then is Christopher Bell and Martin Truex going to be overlooked even as fast as we think Toyotas can be, knowing that there's names down here that we like and knowing that there's names up here we like?
In the same breath as Ryan Blaney, I really don't know what to do with Chastain because we know that he has the aggressive nature in him to race at a track like this where you have to be committed to a line if you want to pass. And, you know, you got to drive the car on edge, and he's never been afraid to do that. That being said, in order to work his way through the field, he's got to get past all of the Toyotas who look incredible at this track during practice and qualifying.
Yep.
And then he's got to deal with the HMS guys. Basically with Chastain, if he's not a win car, I don't think you can get to him because you're only getting 5 to 7 placements. Like if he lucks into a 5th place finish, is that enough to warrant 9,200 if he doesn't have any laps led?
No.
I don't.
Unless you think he's going to get to the front maybe by stage 2. And be the dominant force, and you know, he's
led 2 laps here in the last 3 races.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not. Yeah,
like,
yeah, it's an easy guy to jump over. I'm just a little worried that we're doing it a little too easily, if that makes sense.
Well, it's almost like fade the public, type thing, because literally everybody was on Chastain.
People loved him, and he was awesome in 4 lap and 10 lap, but he slowed down significantly in 15. So that's kind of interesting. Let's talk 8Ks. Logano starting 20th, 8,800. Bubba Wallace, 8,700 in the top 10. Ty Gibbs, 8,500. He gets us. If you need an early dominator, Alex Bowman, Brad Keselowski, and Christopher Buescher, RFKs. 8K has got some names. Who jumps out to you?
I mean, if you're optimistic about Blaney, there's 2 ways to look at that. It's either you continue down the Penske trend where only one of them can be good on any given Sunday, or they've kind of found something. And, you know, I don't know. I think Logano is definitely a top 10 contender, but 8,800 is a little much. I do still like the Bubba play. I mean, he was good here last year. He sat on pole. I think he too, just like Hamlin, kind of missed his line during his final qualifying lap, which is why he qualified last amongst the guys that advanced to the final round. So I do think he's a lot faster than what that 10th place spot says. And then Ty Gibbs. Dude's got some freaking speed.
Yep. And he showed speed 1.5 miles. He's ready for his first win. could be a good week for it. I think Logano, and I think they're both going to go a little overlooked in terms of ownership.
Yeah, and I think too, Gibbs on him is he's probably going to be overlooked for the mere fact that he offers so much risk that the risk greatly outweighs the reward possibly. But if he does pop, he's probably only going to come in, you know, under the 20% mark, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it sure feels that way. Let's talk 7Ks. Briscoe, 5th. Gragson's 21st. Mi amigo Daniel Suarez and Eric Jones. 4 names in the 7K range. Kind of interesting. Any, you know, we like Suarez. Do you like anybody else?
I think Briscoe, if you're looking for somebody that can maintain it up here, I think he's definitely somebody to consider because he's been fast the last few weeks. I know there are short tracks, but SHR has been coming on and they're kind of shortening the gap between them and Penske.
I feel like we did this last week and I feel like it didn't go very well. Very different track. I got to like not worry about what happened last week.
No,
like,
you can't. And then I will say on the Daniel Suarez thing, like give me Suarez over Chastain and DFS all day. Yeah. Like you're saving, you know, close to $1,800 here on a guy who's starting 5 spots lower than him. And he had better splits early on in practice. So,
yeah. Yeah. I think this range is compelling. 6K, Josh Berry, 6,800, Jimmy Johnson, 6,700, John Hunter, 65. Austin Cindric, who didn't, and nope. Speaking of practice, Cindric, Kyle Busch, Brad K, Justin Haley, Austin Dillon, Harrison Burton, Jimmy Johnson, and the Kaz man all ran, didn't run 5 laps consecutively. They all ran like a handful of laps, came in, handful of laps, came in, trying to figure stuff out. So,
or a handful of laps and wrecked and drove backwards. And
Kyle did Busch that, case. You know, good job, KFB. Cindric starting 8th, Austin Dillon 15th. McDowell 13th, Ricky Stenhouse 31st, and Austin Hill 34th. Interesting options. They're all kind of gross, and they're all starting a little bit farther ahead than you really want to be involved.
Yeah.
I mean, you were all aboard the RCR train with Austin Dillon. Is that more of a betting than out in the DFS?
Yeah, because I do think that he's a top 10 threat, but... Yeah. Not somebody that's going to be up near the top 5. So I have no business being in a DFS lineup. I do think that Josh Berry, sitting just behind Eric Jones there at the top of this range, is intriguing. If I'm sticking with the SHR camp and thinking that they've kind of turned the corner and all that type of stuff. So starting 25th, I think he offers, you know, decent placement potential. I mean, even top 15 would be good. Get 10 spots, and then, you know, you go further down the board. Like, I have zero interest in Austin Cindric. The only way he's going is backwards. Michael McDowell, maybe top 10. And then Ricky Stenhouse, he'll probably be the one spinning.
Should we be worried that we keep talking ourselves into Fords that are starting in the 20s?
But that's the thing, though. Is like, I guess if you're looking at betting outright, yeah, I have no interest in those guys. But we just want them to keep clean, run till the end, and get inside, you know, decent. And give us decent placement.
Yeah. I mean, they all feel like pretty, like they feel like top 10 options for sure. So,
yeah.
And obviously the betting market will back that up on a lot of them. Let's talk about the rest of the drivers. So obviously Austin Hill at 6K, but then we have Josevar, LaJoy, Priest, Gilliland, Zane Smith, Harrison Burton, Justin Haley, Daniel Hemric, Kaz Grala, and Ty Dillon. Barfosaurus Rex, anything you like there?
That's a great way to put that because none of these guys is exciting. I will say Corey LaJoy is interesting.
I mean, at fast tracks,
yeah,
mile and a half-ish, I don't hate it. I honestly don't hate it.
Yeah, I think that's probably the only guy. I mean, the only reason why I would be interested in any of these dudes is maybe because they're just super cheap. And if they keep the wheels on it, they're looking at a 25th place finish. Somebody like Haley, stands out from that vantage point for me.
Yep. And Daniel Henrik, Ware car, but like it seems like the Rick Ware car has been a little bit better this year. Haley's a guy who's done better
than college,
halves, even in Vegas. Yeah. I don't hate that call.
Yeah, it's just so hard to get down on these guys. So I mean,
yeah, and it's interesting too, looking at projected ownership. It really goes around a few different drivers, and feeling that good about a guy in the 6K range, it's never the right move. I don't think so. Haley is going to be popular. Kazman is going to be popular. Ryan Preece. So use that.
I will say on Ty Dillon, his worst finish the last three times he's ran here is 24th.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's in a much worse vehicle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a really interesting week, and I will say I just realized today as I was looking at the schedule, next week is Talladega, so it's going to be heavy this week, and we're going to cut back.
Yes, we got to remind ourselves. We'll talk about it next week. Nice and easy. Don't go aggressive. Have some fun on DraftKings, but avoid the betting window. Even though you'll be in Vegas, and I'm sure you'll be spraying the board, so
I'll probably have an outright bet on the entire field.
Brian's like, take it easy, 10 grand, boom.
Yep, yeah.
All right, let's build some lineups. Do we want to start with the Larson lineup?
Yeah, we have to.
And we could do multiple Larson lineups. I'm not going to limit ourselves. Beyond Larson, who's the most compelling name to you? We talked about a few people. I mean, we could go down. We could talk about Eric Jones, Daniel Suarez.
You want to do like two of the higher price guys and then build from there?
Sure.
Okay. It was either him or Blaney. I was going to say. All right. This is going to be disgusting, but let's
give it to me.
Give me Josh Berry. Starting 25th, 6,800. He saves us some room. And you're going to go to the guy that I was going to say next. Suarez, yeah. Okay, all right. That's easy. And then I think to fill it out, it would be Justin Haley, I think, would be my next guy. The only thing I worry about with like a lineup like this, I mean, you have Larson and Byron, but can any of these other guys even get close to the front? Probably not, right?
Bubba?
Yeah, I don't hate Bubba, man. He's been
incredible. You feel better about Bubba than you do about Brad K as a potential race winner? Obviously, Brad is starting 12 spots further back. I mean, we could also do Bowman, who's starting 14th, and load up on Hendrick guys. Or hell, we could even, no, we can't do Chase Elliott, but we could get to Elliott if we want to.
Let's just do Brad. Let's just do Brad K. He's got to pop eventually. Dude's got to win, especially because I'm holding a large outright ticket on him over a half a win. So son of a bitch needs to get a victory this year.
All right. Do we want to do Larson Blaney? Do we want to skip Larson?
Let's skip Larson and go Toyota Heavy.
Toyota Heavy. Okay. So Reddick or Hamlin or both?
Reddick
Truex, Bell. Yeah.
Yeah, let's do Red Dog.
What about?
Maybe this is the 23-11 lineup, and then you do Bubba.
Yeah, what if we just don't use Hamlin at all? Yeah. Maybe that's stupid. But Gibbs?
Yeah, but then you're really playing this fire there.
What do you think about Eric Jones? In on him? Out on him?
I don't know what to do. The Legacy has been off.
Yeah.
They've been weird. I would honestly, if I was going to go with a Legacy guy, I would save the salary and go three spots further back and take John Hunter.
Okay, let's do it.
If you want to get really frisky,
Greece?
Nobody's going to do it. Carson Hocevar, I think, has a legit shot at a top 10.
In
starting 16th, so that's dangerous, but
gross for sure. But opens up a lot. We can do a lot. We could do a little Logano action. We could do Buescher's pretty good at Texas. I know he wasn't great in practice, but
I mean, do you want to use Kyle Busch?
No, but we probably should.
That's what I was just gonna, like, it's probably a spot where you're gonna have to.
Yeah. And I think he makes sense in this lineup too, where you're being a little bit different with the front runners. And then I think we can be even chalky again. I think Chase makes sense. I think Chastain could make sense. Logano could make sense. Bell.
I mean, do you want to do the Chastain Bush combo?
Sure. Let's do it. Yeah, Bush. Watermelon.
Yeah, because I don't think the trio of Bubba, Nemechek, and Hocevar is going to find their way on many people's lineups.
No. Watch, they'll all be like 28% tomorrow.
Right.
Okay. Fresh board. Who dis? Kyle Larson. All right,
we need Denny. We need Denny in a lineup.
Okay. Larson?
Yeah. What if you put Blaney in? Does that even allow us to build a...
Oh, all three of them? I mean, we can. It's gross, but I like this. Now we're cooking with gas.
Yeah. All right. See, look at it. Now we're on to something. This is fun.
I mean,
and then you can go back to Daniel Suarez.
It's like set up perfectly. God, that lineup is gonna crush tomorrow. I cannot wait.
Could you imagine if they finish 1, 2, 3 and then Haley finds herself top 20? And
that feels very, very plausible. Larson, Hamlin, Blaney all fighting for the win, all leading multiple laps at some point. Suarez flirting with like the back end of the top 5, top 10 range.
Yep.
Haley moving forward into the, you know, at least top 20, and LaJoy flirting with the back end of the top 10, maybe top 15 range. I think is very, very much in play.
I like that. I love that gross lineup.
Yeah. All right, crushed it. I love it. So that's our DraftKings preview. Let's look at the updated outrights and talk about if we want to expose ourselves anymore. So I have four bets. Chase Elliott at 18, Byron at 7, Brad Keselowski top 4 at plus 550, and Bubba under 12.5 at minus 140. Brian has Bubba at 16, Elliott at 18, Logano at 25, Logano top 4-4-1. Bubba under 12.5 minus 140, Elliott over Chastain, and Elliott as top Chevy. As we look at the outright market, Kyle Larson, Tyler Reddick, William Byron, Denny Hamlin, Ty Gibbs. Those are your drivers inside 10-1. Larson obviously looked great, easy to get in. Could be a potential live betting opportunity, assuming he doesn't get to the front or doesn't just like crush from the beginning. Maybe you get a pit cycle, but it feels pretty hard to get there. Do you want to bet any of these guys at their current prices inside 10-1?
I think the only one has got to be Denny Hamlin.
8-1.
I'm pretty sure there's an 8.5 hanging out there somewhere. Bet Rivers still has Denny posted at 8.5, which that is a decent. That's a decent number on a guy who came into the week amongst the favorites. I think it was 7-1, bet down to 6 in most places.
Yeah. And you can get, like, Superbook still has Byron at 7. Larson at 4, Reddick at 450. So make sure you're shopping all of these. Wow. All right, I'm going to give you a name here in a little bit, and you can let me know if you want to get invested, because I think I'm going to add it for sure.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's gross. Let's start in the kind of that next range. Blaney at 10-1. Really interesting.
Yeah, Super, Blaney. Super Blaney's numbers are. Yeah, well, Blaney's numbers are much longer on other books. Yeah, Superbook 14, 12 at BetMGM, and then 12 at BetRivers. So yeah, if you like Blaney and you have Superbook available, 14 is a good number.
Yeah. Yeah, especially given his track record at this track and what he's shown and all that stuff. Yeah, that's really compelling. I might be adding that too.
I will say, like, obviously there's a little bit of objectivity speaking when I'm talking about Denny Hamlin winning, because I'm holding a large ticket on his over 2.5 wins. So The faster I get that out of the way, the better will be for my sanity. So of course I want him to win every race moving forward.
Yeah. And it's like Hamlin's incredibly compelling, but like Blaney at 14 is much more interesting. Chris Bell, what can we get him at 12? It looks like is there a better number floating around?
Yeah, he's probably 12 at most.
There's a 12 on Gibbs at Superbook. The number that I was talking about that was really interesting, Ross Chastain at 25.
Why bet Ross Chastain at 25 when you could bet Mi Amigo at 75? I know Chastain is like better, but.
Yeah. Because Chastain was what, like 14 pre-practice? 16?
Yeah, so I think he was 16 at some places.
It's a wild week on the outright board. Chase Elliott at 22. What can probably get him at, you can get him at 25. Would you rather bet Elliott, Kyle Busch, or Ross Chastain at 25?
Probably Chastain.
Yeah.
Honestly.
And then the RFK boys, you can get Kez at 45 and Buescher at 45. Is that a fool's errand?
I'm kind of mad at myself there because I bet them at 30 before I left Vegas.
Yeah, I think that Suarez 75 is really interesting.
Yeah, I think Suarez is interesting. I think, honestly, I'm holding a 100-1 ticket on Briscoe, too. I laid a little, I think it was like $1, I bet, on our offshore on that. And I'm feeling pretty good considering he qualified top five. Like, you know, 80-1 still is a decent number on a car that's been picking it up of late.
Is 75 the best number on Suarez?
$60 at Superbook, $80 at DK.
All right, I'm adding him there.
Yeah, that's the longest $80.
And that means Suarez top 10 will probably be featured on my betting card. Suarez top Chevy will be featured on my betting card.
Oh, I wouldn't even go there with Larson.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, that's terrifying. Win
or don't bet him. Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't mess with that.
Some matchups.
Yeah, I definitely think in the matchup market, I think Suarez is going to be somebody to target. And then it's the same thing I think about like Carson Hocevar, just because he is like that young guy that isn't afraid to throw the car in there. And I think he's going to be somebody in placements. If you can find him in matchups, because he's going to be against back markers, I think he's somebody to attack this week as well.
It's really funny to me. There's some weeks where the books seem to be very synced up and everybody's kind of in the same ballpark in terms of outrights. And then there's other weeks where the numbers are wildly all over the place. This is a really good week to have a few different options to get down on. Like DraftKings has Reddick as the favorite with Kyle Larson.
I mean, rightfully so. He's good.
Yeah.
He's fast. And I do also think that these odds are not just influenced by what we saw practice and qualifying, but greatly influenced by what we saw in Las Vegas, the only other 1.5 we've ran this year, which were Kyle Larson and Tyler Reddick, and then the rest of the field way down here. So,
yeah,
you know, again, going back to the whole different time of year racing thing, like clearly it's going to be different tomorrow because we're racing 4 hours after they were doing practice and qualifying. So, you know, track conditions will be different. The tire wear, all that stuff. It's going to be way longer runs. I mean, we've seen Kyle Larson, as Chris Wormy says, shits the bed. He gets loose often. And so.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to figure out what I'm going to do. I added Suarez at 80. I think that's a really compelling number. I'm fine going back to Byron at 7 or better. 6 is fine if that's the best you can get access to. Brian's in on Hamlin.
Yeah, I'm going to add the 8.5 number of Hamlin. Yeah.
Blaney at 14. I think is the and Chastain at 25 are both compelling. I like this, like, not betting a ton pre-practice and qualifying because it allows us to make more decisions at this point. Maybe that's stupid, maybe not. But,
Well, because, I mean, it gives you that much more information to go off of who's going to be good and who isn't. I mean, just looking at the outright board right now, it's fair to say that Kyle Larson and Tyler Reddick are the best two cars.
Like,
Ty Gibbs qualified great, but during practice, like, it was Reddick and Larson.
And we saw last week that just because you're one of the best two cars doesn't mean you're going to win the race.
That's true. It
means you'll probably look really good majority of the day, but William Byron might just be lurking.
No kidding. That guy is just always in the right spot at the right time.
His team puts him in a really good spot. Luckily for us, we're recording this nice and early so we can spend lots of time going back and forth and figuring out exactly how we're going to update our betting card. So if you want to see our final betting card, if you want to see our three favorite DraftKings plays where Brian will write up three, I'll write up three, we'll write up a few bets, we'll give you the full betting card, we'll give you all kinds of stuff, make sure you head over to aoppodcast.substack.com. Link is in the description. So hit the subscribe button if you have yet to do that. When it eclipse 1,000 before All-Star Weekend, give away a really cool prize. We'll figure something out. We don't know what that's going to be yet, but we'll get you something cool if you get us there. Smash the thumbs up. Let us know down in the comments, who is your favorite driver on DraftKings this week? Are you going to the top of the board with Kyle Larson? Are you scraping the bottom of the barrel with a Corey LaJoy or Justin Haley? Is it somewhere in between? Let us know. We're building lineups. We're putting it all together for you. Make sure that you enjoy the race. Let's cash some tickets. Let's hit some winners on at the betting window. Let us know next week how you did. We'll be back recording Tuesday in your feed Wednesday morning to recap the week as well as get you set for Talladega. We're going to
keep that
betting card nice and tidy.
Sure.
There will be some exposure because, you know, that's what we do. For Brian Twining, I'm Kyle Robert. Enjoy the race. Let's cash some tickets, and we'll talk to you next time.